Any agreement in Copenhagen?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. It's the final day of the UN summit in Copenhagen. For 2 weeks, nations have been trying to agree on a plan to combat climate change. We continue our coverage now with the arrival of President Obama. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from Copenhagen. Stephen, what has the president said?
The president was trying to spur on his fellow heads of state. He said countries must work together on national actions, and he said they must keep checks on their commitments, a clear reference to this very thorny issue of enforcement and compliance. Mr. Obama said a deal that doesn't include sharing of information would be a hollow agreement. And he went on to say that the time for talking is over, and whatever happens here, the U.S. will continue to fight global warming.
America is going to continue on this course of action to mitigate our emissions and to move towards a clean energy economy, no matter what happens here in Copenhagen.
And Stephen, what other meetings are on the president's agenda today?
Well, a key one next, and that's with the Chinese premier. This is the absolutely key relationship here at the summit. After this session, the two leaders will get together. Not clear what progress that's going to make, though. China does still seem reluctant to meet these American demands on monitoring and enforcement.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard there, live from Copenhagen. Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, Bill.
In other news this morning, British Airways has won a court injunction to stop its cabin crews from striking over the holidays, much to the relief of a million travelers. And the Irish airline Ryanair has decided not to buy 200 Boeing jets. They could not agree on terms. Ryanair stock is up about 3%. Overall, European stocks are up more than 0.5% this morning, so we'll give them the happy music. However, Asian markets lost almost 1% today, and yesterday the Dow fell 132 points and closed at 10,308. The blue humanoids are coming today. The movie Avatar opens in theaters. With a budget above $300 million, can this movie really make money? Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith reports there's almost no way on earth it won't.
You're not in Kansas anymore. You're on Pandora.
Some estimates put the price tag for Avatar at $500 million. That would make it the most expensive movie of all time. An estimated $150 million went to marketing alone.
You could not be alive on much of planet Earth without knowing this thing is coming.
Robert Thomas is a professor of media and pop culture at Syracuse University. He says mega marketing efforts like these almost guarantee a mega opening.
It may turn out that the real artistic achievement of Avatar is the way that it was packaged, sold, and marketed.
But even if Avatar ultimately disappoints at the U.S. box office, it doesn't really matter, says Paul DeGarabedian of Hollywood.com.
The key to Avatar's success is its performance in the international arena.
DeGarabedian says the U.S. used to make up about half of a film's total box office revenue. Now, for big-budget movies like Avatar, it's only about a third. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bank of America, working to meet the capital needs of qualified businesses and consumers. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/ahead. And is distributed by American Public Media. For information about underwriting this or other APM programs such as Marketplace Money, visit americanpublicmedia.org.
Now we continue our coverage of the UN Climate Change Conference. It's in its final day, and while nations still haven't agreed on cutting emissions, many cities are already taking action. There are 80 mayors in Copenhagen asking one another what's been working and not working. One of them is the president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors, Seattle's Greg Nichols. Mayor, welcome to our show.
Well, thank you. Good to be here.
I realize cities and towns produce most of the world's energy-related carbon dioxide emissions,
right.
But without an agreement from the big nations, what good can 80 mayors do?
Well, first of all, we are insisting that they come to an agreement. We know that there will be significant compromise necessary to come to an agreement here in Copenhagen, and certainly that will be true in Congress over the next couple of months as they wrestle with the cap and trade issue. At the grassroots level, in the cities across America and across the world, we can make that general commitment into very specific changes in behavior that will reduce our carbon emissions and deal with this problem more directly.
Can you give us an example of a mayor learning what has worked or what hasn't worked this week?
Oh, I think that there are dozens of those. I had an opportunity just now to chat with the mayor of Mexico City, and what was interesting was that the things that we have tried are very similar to the things that they have tried, a different scale, but the politics of it and the need for us to act locally is identical in Mexico City and in Seattle. And at the surface level, you might not think that we would have much to share, but in fact, we did.
No. One landlocked, one on the sea.
Mm-hmm. But we deal with air and land and water, human activity that creates waste, and it takes the same kind of effort in very different environments to deal with that.
If no global agreement comes out of Copenhagen, how does that change what mayors like you do at home?
Well, we would like to be able to focus at home. And so we would just as soon not have to come to Copenhagen and make our voice heard. We'd like to think that the community of nations would have come together around this common peril and found common ground. So if they fail to come to an agreement, we need to let them know we'll be back. We'll be back in even greater numbers, and our expectations will be undiminished. We will hold them to a very high standard.
Seattle Mayor Greg Nickels is president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors, and he's attending the Climate Summit for Mayors in Copenhagen. Mayor Nickels, thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
We'll have more from the final day in Copenhagen later today on Marketplace with Kai Rizdahl. And finally, last Christmas, Tom Smallwood was an unemployed auto worker laid off by GM when his Michigan plant closed. So he pursued his hobby. Last weekend, he won the PBA World Championship of Bowling. He won $50,000, and GM called and offered him a job. Smallwood says he told him, "No thanks, I'm a professional bowler now." This is Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.